afternoon. This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Carolyn Heldman. On today's show, from the archives, a conversation last spring with Annie Denver and Carmen Dopsloff of the John Denver Aspen Glow Fund at the Aspen Community Foundation. Annie Denver and Carmen Dopsloff, the former Windstar Foundation president and longtime friend of John and Annie, are my guests. The John Denver Aspen Glow Fund was created after the sale of John Denver's Windstar property in Old Snowmass in April of 2013. The Aspen Glow Fund allocates its funds to local and worldwide causes that speak to John Denver's legacy and vision for a world that works. Aspen Public Radio has received a grant from the John Denver Aspen Glow Fund at the Aspen Community Foundation to support news coverage, outreach, and education on the environment. Aspen Public Radio will use the grant in four programs that combine environmental awareness, music, youth engagement, and local outreach. The grant funds will be used to provide the Aspen Public Radio news team with additional resources to cover environmental topics. We will also host a series of environmental symposia highlighting key national and international players from the environmental field. We'll be working with local schools to build an interactive multimedia web page focused on environmental education and outdoor experiences told through the Valley's youth. And finally, we will host a concert for the wilderness projected for the fall of 2016 to bring an environmentally active musician to the Roaring Fork Valley for a community-wide concert to celebrate the wilderness and the art of singing and songwriting. I asked Carmen to give us a brief snapshot of how the fund started.
We weren't able to manifest John's vision with RMI in terms of building a think tank retreat center. It was kind of a situation where we're kind of forced to sell or just sit there.
Right.
I called Annie when I found out we were going to be selling and told her about that. And she and I discussed different ways because RMI and Windstar would split whatever monies were, made by the sale. So it was kind of an emotional thing for me to let go of Windstar.
Because
president at the time.
Got it.
And but I realized when talking to Annie that this was a good thing.
It was time for that to change.
And Annie was my emotional support with that.
What had happened since John's passing, even Windstar.
I think the effectiveness of the Windstar from the original idea had run its course. And had really run its course for a long time. And it was difficult, I think, for Carmen and several of the board members actually to put that to rest, to look at a change. There was a big backlash about the closing. People were very passionate about it, but nobody was really supporting it.
They just wanted it to be there.
The idea of it and, the fan base. And even though I think people were well-intentioned, I think that things sometimes have expiration dates. And the beautiful thing that's come out of this, thanks to Carmen and her vision, is this expansion into other things that I think John would be very proud of and delighted and enthusiastically supporting, and to give rise to this concept of Aspen Glow.
Because in a way, Carmen, Windstar was really tied to that piece of land.
Right.
And now, with Aspen Glow, you have busted those doors wide open, right?
Yes, and John was very much for global busting forth, everybody shining for each other, that we're here for each other. And it became a piece of land that nobody even came to anymore. The last decade, I spent trying to revive it, and that was pretty impossible. It had passed away when John passed away. But folks didn't tell me that because I'm too sensitive. Mm-hmm. So Tom Crum, who is kind of the co-founder with John way back, and he hadn't participated officially at Windstar for many, many years, but he said, let my friend go, take off the life support system. Mm. And when the day we closed, Allison, our other board member, and I met with Tom, for a cup of coffee, and the three of us cried. And it was like we unplugged him, or unplugged, Tom calls Winstar her. So, and I call Winstar him. So he is all things, she is all things, you know, right. That kind of thing. And he cried, and we cried, and said, okay, now it's time to move forward with the possibility of a sale. So we closed before we had an offer or anything. And Annie was a great support to me because we could have stayed open and had, you know, $4 million in the bank and done our little thing with a new office and a new executive director and start from scratch and probably spend $2 million trying to do that.
Right, right, right.
And, you know, marketing yourself. And here are all these programs in the Valley that need help.
So Aspen Glow Fund, the conception was taking place while this, you were putting to rest Winstar, or did it happen after?
It happened after.
Okay. And then Annie, you got back involved?
Well, Carmen had called me, and I was more concerned about Carmen and the emotional drumming she was taking with people really that aren't in the Valley, but they all thought they had an idea of what should, quote unquote, should happen with this money. And once we talked through this, and Carmen was kind enough to listen to my feedback, I felt pretty strongly that the money needed to be tied up in a neutral place, and that's where it came to sit at the Aspen Community Foundation. And they've done a terrific job managing this fund. And then the idea was, do you keep the name Winstar, or do you come up with something else? And I felt very strongly, as did Carmen, that Winstar had run its course, and in a way was tainted. It was an old idea that had gotten tired. I can't remember if I was at home, but it just came to me as clear as a bell what it should be called. When John and I first came to Aspen in 66, early 67, and as a result of that, we loved Aspen. And it was magical. It was one of these things at night, it would snow and it'd be these big ivory luxe flakes coming down. Mm-hmm. And I was from Minnesota. I'd seen a lot of snow, but not like that. Mm-hmm. And the blue sky and everything was just so beautiful and simple and magnificent at the same time. In 1969, we had been married a couple of years and John had left the Mitchell Trio, had had a small success, or actually a big success as a songwriter with Leaving on a Jet Plane. And he got a job through a man named Jack Caswell, who ran a club the second year Snowmass had opened called The Leather Jug. I was selling baby clothes at Dayton's department store in Minneapolis and going to night school at the University of Minnesota. John got this job and he drove out and he played in this club all winter. That's where he made the friends that he had the day he died here. He learned to ski out there, fell in love with Aspen and Snowmass. His favorite run was Whispering Jesse. But that said, that winter he submitted a song to the Winter Skull Songwriting Contest, and he won the contest. And I think that was the theme of Winter Skull that year. And it's see the sunlight through the pine, taste the warm of winter wine, dream of softly falling snow, Winter Skull, Aspen Glow. And he was so proud of that. And I thought, that's what this should be called.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. My guests are Annie Denver and Carmen Dopsloff of the John Denver Aspen Glow Fund, administered by the Aspen Community Foundation. The Aspen Glow Fund has year-to-date given over $3 million to area and worldwide organizations to support the environment and humanity.
It was at the beginning, and it gets to be at the end. Mm. And the idea of glow, and you can give money, and it's like blowing on a fire, and it glows, and it glows, and it glows.
So yeah. Aspen Glow Fund was born, administered through the Aspen Community mm-hmm. Foundation.
The John Denver Aspen Glow Fund at the Aspen Community Foundation.
And you've been very quietly been making a pretty huge impact with your gifts through the Aspen Glow, John Denver Aspen Glow Fund. Tell us about some of the recipients, or tell us all the recipients.
Last June, we started again donating, and by December, we had donated $1,500,000 to the community programs, which were about 12. The year before, the first year, we gave away $1,500,000. The different school programs and the one thing we were donating to before we shut down was Little Aspen Tree and campers that would go to Ed and Barty's project. And so we picked hunger, environment,
education,
children.
Originally, too, when the money was in pocket, we gave $1 million to
China.
Amory Lovins and to his Reinventing Fire program. That was the first big check that the fund cut, right?
The biggest one ever.
The biggest one ever. Because John and John had a deep belief in Amory and his work and was very inspired by it. And then John, and I don't know what year this was, but he was one of the first entertainers from the U.S. to go into China when they opened it up to U.S. entertainers and artists. And it's an interesting story because George Bush Sr. was the ambassador over there, and Deng Xiaoping was the premier. And my children gave me a great picture that John had taken over there, and it's all of these Chinese women, men, and children, and they're all laughing at the camera. There must be about 20 people, 25 people.
Seems like more.
And it's a moment in time, and John was a very good photographer. But the reason they're so charmed is they'd never seen anybody like him. And he had his cameras, and John was always very effusive and friendly. But it was a very pivotal time in John's life. So it was really appropriate, and I think John would be very happy that Amory and his institute got that money. It's a big deal.
It's called Reinventing Fire China.
And what does that mean?
Creating new energy, clean energy. It's quite wonderful, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
Aspen Glow and Reinventing Fire.
Right.
Yeah.
And then closer to home, I think there was a sizable commitment to the Valley Settlement Project.
Absolutely. Last year, we gave them little over 100,000, and this year, our only gift so far this year has been another 300,000. So we have little
Bucecito,
Aspen Glow, and Alfie. John wrote a little story about Alfie, so we have a little Alfie buzz.
One of the things that was most surprising about the survey is that only 1% of the kids and the families that we surveyed have preschool or are going to preschool. We were hearing from the schools when we interviewed them that kids weren't ready for kindergarten. They would come in not knowing the language or not having any background about their colors, their ABCs, any of that stuff.
Nationally, we haven't seen a lot of initiatives that have been able to really crack the code on how do you engage with a hard-to-reach population, a population that frankly doesn't want to be found a lot of the time, and simultaneously, how do you improve the quality of what's happening in those 0 to 5 years? So when those kids hit kindergarten doors, they're ready to go and they're able to succeed.
When kids come in having had some preschool, their ability to do kindergarten now, they can actually work.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. My guests are Annie Denver and Carmen Dopsloff of the John Denver Aspen Glow Fund, administered by the Aspen Community Foundation. The Aspen Glow Fund has year-to-date given over $3 million to area and worldwide organizations to support the environment and humanity.
The funds are also going to the moms and the young mothers with these little babies that are also being educated. And they're teaching the fathers. Some of the fathers, the men, don't even know how to write in Spanish. They don't know how to read in Spanish. How would we expect them to learn English? It's heartbreaking. And we're supporting their educating them in English. And we saw pictures where they don't even know how to hold a pencil mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. they were farm workers. Mm-hmm. And what's amazing to Annie and I is we knew there were needs in the valley. But, you know, this is Aspen Valley. Who thought that down the road where I eat lunch, that a man lives in a trailer with his family and he can't even write his name in Spanish, let alone English? Doesn't know how to hold a pencil mm-hmm. because he was working with, you know? And it's beautiful that we're mm-hmm. able and blessed to be able to help mm-hmm. in such a way.
And
don't
also,
you think, Amy?
Yeah, Carmen, talk about the story, though, the graduation that you went to down in Rifle. Uh-huh. How many people showed up for this little preschool graduation from the preschool bus that we funded down there through the Community Foundation?
Yes, and that's the Sunshine Bus.
The Sunshine Bus, taken from John's song, Sunshine on My Shoulders.
Right, and there were 50 little graduates that graduated preschool, and they're going into kindergarten, and I would say 70% are Hispanic, and the other 30% are, you know, Caucasian, Anglo, and all their parents and all their relatives were there. And there were 450 people we had to give pizza to.
For a preschool graduation.
And the kids were dressed up in these sparkly, shining, colorful dresses. And the little boys had suits and vests.
So much pride.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And that's through the Aspen Community Foundation. That's Cradles to Career.
Right.
And they're focused on the preschool piece, mm-hmm. and
Jane Poss was the originator of this bus concept, I believe, with John Bennett, yeah. But we were thrilled to be able to give a significant contribution to that.
We've also this year given them a significant contribution of probably $180,000 for the After School Wednesday programs. Mm.
Right.
So that the children can have programs on Wednesdays mm-hmm. So that they're able to give the teachers time for in-service work or education for themselves, upgrading their skills. And so what was happening, the kids were going home or hanging out. So now they have more than 1,000 kids participating in these after-school Wednesday programs, and they're learning yoga mm-hmm. and different things, and people have contributed, the community is contributing mm-hmm. Their skills to these mm-hmm. programs, and it's just amazing that the need is even there, let alone, you know, that we didn't know it was there mm-hmm. until WinStar was sold. It awakened us to the real WinStar spirit mm-hmm. and all of these programs, the writers program
right.
with the kids.
We've given a contribution this year to their to bring writers in the school. It's poetry, isn't it?
Yeah.
Carmen?
Yes.
And we gave $250,000 to the community school, the charter school. In terms of their building project, they're putting together a huge music center, right? And they're actually going to name that after John, which
it's
was
gonna be
very
the John
beautiful.
Denver Music and Performing Arts Center.
Hall. Yeah. No, and it's great. What else have we given to?
Well,
it's so much fun.
Feed
my sheep. No, to give money, and you know it makes such a difference, is so much fun.
The sanctuary.
Oh my gosh.
The sanctuary. Is that a place for those his fans to go?
They go there every October. Mm-hmm. That became the place they went. They stopped coming to WinStar about 10 years,
right.
15 years ago,
right.
maybe. And they were just, you know, we were mm-hmm. just hanging on by a thread. But the purpose of WinStar had been served, as Annie said, and before
really, and it was John when died, John died. Yeah,
he and Amory Lovins had joined RMI and Windstar together, and we had the Windstar Land Conservancy Board, which was 50-50, and so that was kind of the vision he had, and RMI was going to do more and more environmental work, which they do, right, certainly have done. And he was going to be like the voice for them, the, mm-hmm, you know. And so there were all these kinds of ways to blend the energies of Windstar and RMI. But John brought Amory to town for the chief scientist of Windstar so many years ago.
A long time ago.
And Amory looked like this puppy when I look at these old videotapes. He's such a puppy. So was John. Right. So was John Katzenberger. So was Bruce Gordon. And, you know, making this film, because we're taking like five of the original visionaries, and what they're doing today is carrying on the mission of Windstar in a big, big way. And so they were all at the house this weekend.
When will that film be done, do you think?
We think probably by the end of the summer.
And how will you distribute it? Or will the Aspen community?
We have Roland Smith. I don't know if you know him, but he was an anchorman out of New York. And he was on the board of trustees with John for a long, long time. And he's going to help connect, as well as Brian will help in his way, and we weren't looking to make any money on this. We want to get the word out to inspire people, because we've been inspired. We closed the door, locked it, walked away, and here is this whole valley filled with programs that we're able to help because we locked the door.
And you lit fires on every single one of these.
And then we blew on them.
Yes.
Really.
Yeah.
You know, getting back to what you were asking about the sanctuary, that's a separate thing than the Aspen Glow Fund, although Carmen's been very generous about that, because we want it to be finished and done in a beautiful, very inspiring way. But after John had died, I got a call from Jeff Woods, the head of the Aspen Parks Department. And he had this vision of wanting to do something to memorialize John. And at the time, I don't know if, Carolyn, you recall, but that whole thing was like weeds. There weren't any ponds. The river was running through it. And he had this vision about having some engraved stones. And he contacted me, and we put our heads together. And I felt very strongly it shouldn't be a memorial, and it shouldn't be statues. It needed to be something natural
and alive,
inspiring and alive. And that's where I came up with the word sanctuary. And I will own that, because I think it is a place of reflection and safety and peace. But the bigger thing, and getting back then to Windstar, or now Aspen Glow, is it's about taking an inspiration. And it the sanctuary has become a bigger thing, really, than John, which I think is so fabulous. Because once we picked out the original, every song that I picked or selected, and Jeff was very supportive of it, it's very indicative of different things in John's life. And then 16 years later, I get a call from Jeff. Well, we're ready to do phase two. I'd forgotten about it. I said, what do you mean?
Phase two.
And so anyway, if you go down there, it's spectacular. But it was about taking John's vision. And then I think the really fantastic part of it is there are wonderful thinkers, inspirational quotes, writers, artists, philosophers, scientists, and we've picked out very selected quotes, and they're tucked away throughout the rocks and along the streams. And it's all connected then with this environmental watershed process of cleaning the water before it's put back to the river. Hopefully this summer we'll have the rest of the engravings done and the storyboards, which will tell the story. And on the center stone coming in, John loved haiku, and so I came up with John Denver Sanctuary, pause, reflect, enjoy. And the bigger thing for me, and I think for Carmen and Jeff and all the people that have worked on it, is for people to take a part of this away with them, to be inspired, to take it back to their communities. And really, it all comes full circle then to what's happened with AspenGlow and the money, because it's going to make a big difference.
It already has.
So it's already tied together, which is so great. And people come from all over the world, and they go into that sanctuary, and they get very quiet, and they read. And there's Thoreau. There's Rachel Carson.
Rumi.
There's Carl Sagan. Mary Oliver. And in the children's area, the child's play area, Rebecca was really helpful in getting through Jeff talking to school teachers and having a contest. And children have made their quotes about the environment that we've selected. That's going to be down there. And I think of all of the things, it's the sanctuary that ties it all together. Because it is about taking what inspires us and connects us as human beings. Right, Carmen?
So true. For me, one of the deepest meaningful reasons the sanctuary is so John. John's vision, John's spirit, John's... And he was not a me, me, me guy. He was always we and us.
Mm-hmm.
He was never about, I think this way, we, mm-hmm. you know. And if you talk to Rick LaFaro, who we interviewed, what the sanctuary does and how it cleans the water before it gets back to the Colorado River and how many fish are alive because of that. Mm-hmm. It's the hidden part. It's like Aspen is a grove of one root system.
Thank you.
I thank you for having us on.
Thank you.
Annie Denver and Carmen Dopsloff of the John Denver Aspen Glow Fund, administered by the Aspen Community Foundation. The Aspen Glow Fund has year-to-date given over $3 million to area and worldwide organizations to support the environment and humanity. In full disclosure, Aspen Public Radio was recently awarded a grant from the John Denver Aspen Glow Fund at the Aspen Community Foundation to support our news coverage, outreach, and education on the environment.
Aspen is a life to live. See how much there is to give. See how strongly you believe. See how much you may receive. See the sun.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. If you missed the show or would like to hear it again, go to our website, aspenpublicradio.org. Have a great afternoon.
When to school. Aspen Glow, Winter School, Aspen Glow.